Well, good morning, KPCW listeners. My name is Mitchell Elliott.
And I'm Sarah Irvin.
And you're listening to the Community Campfire here on a absolutely gorgeous Friday morning. Sarah, how are you doing this morning?
You know, doing really well. I've spent the morning just enjoying the kind messages that we've been receiving from listeners with the support they've been showing the station. And for those who were just tuned into the local news hour, I had the chance to end that hour with Roger saying thanks to folks for stepping up in this moment in time where we are looking for additional local support for the local programming, like the Community Campfire that we bring you. So many, many, many thanks to the many, many, many hundreds of donors that have stepped up this week.
Yeah, huge thanks to all of you for making this radio station possible, because it is not Park City without KPCW and the Wasatch Back, of course.
Yeah, and you know, that's the great thing is that this show gives us the opportunity to showcase those voices and the stories of people that live, you know, here in Park City, out in Colville, in Heber, in Midway. We've got, you know, great stories coming from all across Summit and Wasatch counties, and we want to continue doing that. We want to continue elevating the voices and the stories of the people that live here, and it's really truly an honor to do so. So thank you again to those that have stepped up with their support because of the local programming that we provide.
Sarah, I'm bringing a tear to my eye. Oh my gosh, so emotional right now. Well, we got to tell you, we have a great show lined up this week. We're going to start with some Bucking Bulls, Championship Dreams, and Family Grit in Clyde and Daniel, Utah for a rough and rowdy rodeo story with heart.
Ooh,
and
I
then,
like that.
Then we're going to go behind the mic and meet one of our DJs, our lovely DJ Rudy Tesno, better known as Rudy on the radio. And then we're revisiting another interview we have with Wyatt Pike, and he's got some fresh releases coming up.
Ooh.
So you'll be hearing some for the first time right here on the show. Plus, Coach Skinner has the skinny on sports, and we also have some Campfire Kids as always. So it's going to be a pretty good show today. But before we get into any of that, I want to hear quickly from Madeline.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
Andrea here with our weekly Campfire Kids, sharing their thoughts and big ideas with us. An 8-year-old future sports broadcaster or football player named Griffin has some strong opinions about the NFL draft and Tom Brady.
Yeah, tell me about the NFL draft. What do you know about it?
That Caleb Williams, I'm a Bears fan. Caleb Williams went number one last year. This year it was Cam Ward from Miami. Also, the Bears are going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, why do you think that?
So we have a new coach that wasn't the offensive coordinator for the Lions last year.
How do you know so much about football? Do you read books, or is it more you just watch?
It's actually kind of a crazy story. So I went to a park and someone asked me to play football and I thought it was pretty fun. So I went home, did a little studying. So I went on YouTube TV and watched like 75 videos of Tom Brady highlights. Mm-hmm. And that's how I really got into football. It's hard to hate on Tom Brady. It's kind of like not liking Michael Jordan.
For the record, kid, I don't like Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, so you're on a short leash, all right?
Oh, my goodness. That's really funny. Strong opinions. Yep. Strong opinions.
Also, you were surprised on that last song there, too.
Oh, my God. I was dancing in the studio to that Josh Kelly tune. That was a disco departure for him. I love that.
I know, right? Pretty sweet.
Josh
there
is local. If you're listening, Josh, come on in and give us a dance party. We'd love that.
Well, we're going to get into our first story of the day here. It comes from Amber, and she's talking about a little bull riding. Pretty exciting stuff.
Ooh, have you done some bull riding?
I've done some mechanical here and there, uh-huh. You know, lasted for about 15 seconds, but those things can whip around and get you.
Gosh,
how about you?
No. I like keeping my whole spine intact.
Fair enough. Well, we'll see more in this story here from Amber.
How many bulls do you own?
A lot. I want to say, 20 riders for the kids. And then, gosh, we had 20 babies born last year. We probably had 20 this year. We have all set up and we do it all right here. And it's pretty cool. Like, in our house, we have a bunch of semen tanks. And it's crazy. They're like, what is that? We're like, oh, it's a semen tank.
Welcome to the Simpson home.
Yeah, this is our house, yeah.
Meet the Simpsons. No, not the animated ones with a donut problem, but a real-life family of five living a high-octane ranch life in Daniel, Utah. Parents Ryan and Amanda, along with their daughter Haley, are raising championship bulls as their two boys make a name for themselves in the rodeo arena. 17-year-old Weston was recently crowned state champion in both bareback and bull riding at the 2025 Utah High School Rodeo Association's state finals. His 15-year-old brother Coulter is climbing the ranks too. He took home second place as the reserve champion in JV bull riding. But hold your horses. On top of that, the family also co-owns Destructive Behavior, the turbocharged team behind the Wasatch County Demolition Derby. Think bumper cars, well, if your childhood ride had a pit crew and a paramedic on standby. When I first reached out to Amanda, she casually mentioned that they're a pretty quiet, low-key family, as if their life isn't straight out of a Wild West reality show.
Give me the backstory then. Is it your husband who's into all this? You married into the bull riding family?
He did a little bit of bull riding for fun. He never did like high school rodeo or anything.
Right, people just ride bulls for fun?
Yeah, I guess.
The Simpson boys weren't always bull riders. They were regular soccer kids until France's frontier days turned everything upside down several years ago. They hopped on a couple of baby steers just for fun, hit the dirt a few times, and got back up grinning. One event led to another, and soon the family went all in, buying bulls and building bucking chutes, and basically transforming their four-acre property into a mini rodeo arena.
Sit up, Wes. Keep going. Get over there.
Ryan said it takes a lot of work and patience to get a bull ready for competition. They are wild animals by nature, so the training is all about building trust. They're also smart and quick learners. Amanda added that their training starts long before a human climbs onto a bull's back.
We have a dummy. It's called a dummy. It's like a metal contraption that you put on the back of the animal. It's supposed to replicate a rider. And they'll start bucking, and when they do a few good jumps, my husband's got the clicker. You push the button and it falls off of them. So they're like, oh, the harder I buck, I'll get this thing off of me. So that's kind of how we teach them to buck.
The Simpsons take some of their best young bucks to what's basically a rodeo just for bulls. They're called bull futurities, and it's like a competition for younger bucking bulls in the name of finding the next big rodeo superstar. Now, here's a fun behind-the-scenes detail. Before practice or competition, the bulls go through a bit of strategic fasting. They're taken off feed several hours in advance to avoid bloating. And maybe they get a little extra fired up. Forget Angry Birds. Someone should make a video game called Hangry Bull. And that's not all. Here's another fun fact.
Most bulls are left-handed, so humans are mostly right-handed. Most bulls, they want to come out of left-hand chutes, so we have only been doing this a few years, but we our first trip on all of our calves are out of the right hand. We're wanting them to like that, so we don't ever show them the left hand until they show us that they need to be in the left hand, which is usually by the way they spin. The goal is to have a bull bucking and jumping and spinning really close to the chutes. That's when they score the best points.
So what makes a bull's ride really stand out?
There's five categories that they judge a bull on. One is the jump or the rear, when the front feet are coming off the ground. The kick, which is the rear feet. Tenacity, which is just the bull's energy. Directional change, and then just difficulty. So the spin, that's where you want the directional change. And if they stay close to the chute and they come out two to the left and then go back to the right, that's pretty tough on the bull rider because, you know, they'll get used to going to that left and that bull will jump out of it, and he'll buck a lot of them off when they do that.
I asked Amanda what reward a bull gets for a job well done. She pointed to Cletus, a big red beast with a monster buck and fire in his eyes, and she gave me an answer I did not expect.
Back scratches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We have a couple of them.
He seems like the snuggly type.
Yeah. If he's out and about and he sees us, he'll come to the fence and start mooing at you until you come and give him some scratches. Yeah. And you have to do it, but they're nasty. Like, you got black fingers, but can't say no.
Apparently, Weston can't say no either. He recently posed for prom photos with Cletus,
much to the dismay of his understandably reluctant date. Weston and Coulter didn't become champions by chance. They practiced before and after school, and their weekends? Well, those are reserved for road trips and competitions. They often train with rodeo legend Joe Frost, a five-time national finals rodeo qualifier, whose brother Josh snagged the 2024 World Championship title. The Simpson boys have come a long way since those first wobbly rides at Frontier Days, now packing serious skill and safety under their belt buckles. But what's it like being the mom of two daredevils in one of the most dangerous sports out there? Amanda beams with pride, but admits hospital visits are almost routine, and her nerves keep her off the sidelines during practice. But when the chutes fly open on competition day,
I feel like all their emotions inside of me. Like going into state, instead of being scared for their safety, it changed to being worried about their, because he was so pumped and ready and I didn't want him to be heartbroken. And so my heart was more worried about their heart. If that makes sense, I don't even know how to explain it. I didn't want him to be brokenhearted.
How was your heart when he won then?
I was bawling like a baby. I was, and I just wanted to hug him.
Cry either way.
Yeah, I cry either way. I'm emotional.
Amanda had every reason to get emotional at the recent high school state championship. Weston was forced to take 5 months off thanks to a torn labrum and shoulder surgery, and finally got the doctor's green light just a week before the big event. Then he went on to win both the bareback and bull riding competitions.
Tell me about that moment when you knew you won.
Oh, it felt good. I was stoked. It's been one of my biggest goals for a long time. Just been working at it a lot, dreaming about it, and yeah, just putting in a lot of work for it.
What's your why for this crazy sport? Why do you love this?
I don't know. It just kind of, ever since I tried it, it just felt cool. It looks cool and feels good, and it feels really good when you ride, and it's like best feeling in the world. Just you won against like a 1,800-pound animal, so it feels great.
Man versus beast, and the wildest 8 seconds most of us will never experience. And for the Simpsons, bull riding isn't just a sport. It's a way of life, fueled by guts, grit, and untamable passion. This is Amber Johnson for KPCW's Community Campfire. This is Amber for Campfire Kids. Immediately after a recent mountain bike ride, I spent a solid hour chatting with Beau, Luke, and Quinn, mostly about how they're total ladies' men. But when this lady needed a hand, let's just say chivalry checked out early when I brought home a little souvenir from the great outdoors.
I've broken lots of stuff.
And I have, yeah. Okay, so
wait, is there a spider on your hair? Oh my gosh, there's a spider on your hair.
Yep.
You guys want to get it?
You almost touched it. No, I'm not.
Come on, are you guys wussy boys? I thought you're supposed to be strong and powerful. Getting the spider off my hair.
No.
I'm being the brave
It's going under your... Oh, no.
Is that a tip?
No, it's...
So, you... Wait.
That's where? Not... That's
oh,
not...
Oh, my gosh. That might be a tick.
Is that a tick?
That's a tick.
Can you get it for me?
No.
No.
Come on.
I don't like it.
It's a tick.
It's a tick.
It's
going to bite me.
Where is it? Is that it? I got it.
Is it a tick?
Yeah, it looks like a tick.
I told you it was strong.
Wait, did it bite you?
You told me you were strong? You didn't even, get it off of me!
Because I didn't want it to dig in my skin.
It's because if I try to take it off, I know it's going to bite you or bite me. Because
so there's no rather have it bite me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a valid reaction to a bug there.
I sure hope they got that tick off. How did it end?
I guess we'll never know, or we might hear it in the next clip there. All right, well, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to turn our attention to one of our DJs here at the KPCW studios, Rudy Tesnow. He is a fantastic DJ. Sarah, you want to comment on Rudy at all?
Well, everyone knows him as Rudy on the radio, and he does a great job on our airwaves and is just one of the kindest people in town. And Andrea Buchanan sat down with him as part of our sort of behind the scenes with the local voices you hear on KPCW.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Thank you.
There are so many cool things about working at KPCW, and one of them is our volunteer DJs. They're called the Air Force, and we're so grateful for all of them. Each one brings a special sauce to the airwaves. One of those booming voices is Rudy Tesno, who's been with the station for 12 years. I had a chance to chat with Rudy, and when he's not spinning tunes here, he's flying planes all over the world. Here's my conversation with Rudy Tesno. And having worked here for a few years and always seeing you in the booth, you're one of our most prized volunteer Air Force DJs.
Andrew, you're giving me way too much credit. We have so many great DJs in our volunteer Air Force, and I'm just happy to be part of it. So,
how did you decide you wanted to come on board, and when did that happen?
I guess it kind of starts when we first moved to town in 1992, and just hearing all the local personalities on this great local radio station. And, you know, honestly, when my last kid graduated from high school, and I had retired from the Air Force Reserves a year before that, and it was kind of time to start going around looking in the community to see what opportunities might be available to get out there and maybe do a little give back. So that was kind of how I got started in it. And then I heard an ad on the radio that, you know, they were looking for DJs. And I'm like, well, you know, that kind of put the bug in my ear. I don't know if I necessarily started off thinking about being a DJ, but it's like, well, how about maybe thinking about volunteering at the public radio station, because I know really how the radio station operates. So anyway, then I came in and met Jan Williams, who was the director of operations at that time, and she showed me around the booth and showed me around the station and introduced me to people around here, and kind of the rest is history, you know.
So what year did you start?
2013, July of 2013 was the earliest notes that I took for shows that I was putting together, you know, for my own DJ program or whatever.
And so you're a retired Air Force pilot?
All right. Well, so I also fly for the airlines. I got hired by them in 91. And then in 94, I got furloughed, recalled in 96. And during that interim time, I got back into the reserves. And it was all non-flying logistical type jobs and command posts and operations planning and things of that nature. And so I ended up working for the deputy director for plans and programs for the Air Logistics Center at the base, and then became the IG to the fighter squadron there for a while, and then I retired in 2010 from
the Air
Force.
Well, thank you for your service.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I've always just been, you know, being in and out of KPCW in the news department, and then now doing this wonderful podcast. But Rudy, when Rudy walks in, it's like, where have you been, Rudy? You could have flown in from, I don't know, name any place, any country. So tell us what you do on your when you're not DJing for us.
Well, so I try to bid my schedule around my DJ schedule around the flying schedule. And so typically I'll leave on a trip on a Thursday and then get back on a Tuesday as a general rule. And so it's not every single week that it's like that. Sometimes it's a shorter trip than that. But by and large, what I'm doing mostly these days is flying to Europe and some to Asia and some to South America. It just kind of depends on the week. But somebody asked me one time, so you've had your whole schedule around going to KPCW to be a DJ? And it's like, well, yeah, pretty much. So, but
I mean, that shows you how lucky you are. So you are on, today is a Wednesday, and you come in how many days a week? Or is it one? Or
I'm just here on Wednesdays from 10 to noon. That's my general shift. Although, you know,
prime time, people.
But I'll tell you what, you know, the staff here is so wonderful. You know, John Burdick is the program director, and Mitch and Bill Skinner. And those guys are just wonderful about working around volunteer schedules. And, you know, if I come in and say, hey, you know, in 2 weeks I'm going to have to be doing this, that, or the other, whatever meeting I can't get out of, or whatever it is, they're very flexible about that. So I'd say it's been a wonderful experience just being here.
I love it. Well, your voice is built for the radio. Come on. You've got such a good voice.
Well,
or did you, when you were a young man, like younger than you are, think, oh, I want to be a DJ? Was it always something in the back of your mind that sounded kind of cool, or was this a step out of your comfort zone to come and do this?
Probably a little of both. I think I've always enjoyed listening to the radio and enjoyed listening to personalities on the radio, and of course the kind of music that we play is kind of I like the variety that we play. I like the fact that we mix it up and we play stuff from back in the 70s, and we also play stuff that was written last month. You know, a singer-songwriter, we feature local people, and we feature new upcoming artists, and just having a variety of like that is really fun. And I guess over the years, I've just developed an ear for listening to music and just find stuff that I like. I like a whole variety of music, and that's kind of one of the cool things about being here. So anyway, as far as being a DJ, I guess that's sort of something that just fell on my lap. When I come to town, I never thought that was going to be something I'd be doing.
Well, as a pilot, you're talking to people in the air and to air traffic control and on the airplane, and you're used to having kind of command over, you know, a microphone, for lack of a better way to look at it.
We had an engineer that used to work here at KPCW that was on in one of my airplanes one day, and he came up after the flight and he said, "Hey, Rudy, you guys, you sound just like you sound on the airplane, just the same as you do on the radio." And I said, "Well, okay, thanks."
Okay, Lost and Found is something we do as DJs, right? So, what's the craziest? Do you remember the craziest lost and/or found item that you've ever read that kind of stuck with you?
That's a really good question. And when you see something really unusual on there, it's pretty funny. You know, like somebody saw a tire rolling down I-80 one day. You know, and so they called and said, "Hey, if anybody's lost a tire that's rolling down I-80, you know, westbound or whatever."
Are you kidding? Like a random tire?
Yeah.
Just on its own, just rolling down the freeway.
Right. You know, somebody lost a chinchilla one time, and it's like, well, I wonder how you catch a chinchilla. So anyway.
Did they find it? Do you know?
I don't know. The lost and found is a great thing that we do, because I've lost stuff, you know, in the parking garage here, and put it on KPCW, and lo and behold, the next thing I know, it's found by somebody, and so I get a call.
That just says it all, from tires to chinchillas. That spans the lost and found items gamut. Have you been in the booth when something major's happened in town, like fires or, you know, something that's kind of big, newsworthy, or maybe national news or world news, where you've had to break in and, you know, kind of go on the fly a little bit more than your normal scheduled programming?
When COVID happened, that was kind of a memorable event, because I was on the air right about the time that they were announcing that, hey, this is a big deal now, and this is something that we're going to have to, you know, really consider as a society, and there are going to be lockdowns, this, that, and the other, and so that realization kind of occurred while I was actually on the air, I think, and I don't remember exactly now how it presented, but that was one of them.
Yeah, because after that, this station and your airplanes stopped flying, and the station shut down, and
right, and so they were trying to limit the number of people coming through the station and limit the amount of germs on the microphones and things like that, and so basically the volunteer DJ thing pretty much shut down. You know, we had one DJ who did a very good great job through that time, and then there were a couple or three, and then eventually they brought us all back. So
you raised your children here, you said?
Yes. So I've got one son. He actually just got off of active duty with the Navy. He's still in the Navy Reserves, but he's in Denver, and just got hired by another airline, not the one that I fly for, but a different one, but that's fine. And then I have a daughter who's 2 years younger than her. So he graduated in 2009 from Park City High School, and then our daughter graduated in 2011, and she went on to become a PhD scientist. She's an entomologist living in Gainesville, Florida, and she's married to another entomologist, and they just had a kid about a year and a half ago.
But for those of us that don't know, an entomologist would be someone who studies
bugs. That
bugs.
Is a bug scientist. That's right.
You know, there's all the time on Nextdoor. I don't know if you ever go on there, but people are always forever taking photos of strange looking bugs, and they're like, put it on, you know, Nextdoor. Like, what is this thing? You know, which I always find so funny.
And we do that ourselves. You know, it's like, if there's something unusual, we'll take a picture of it, send it to her. Hey, what is this? You know.
And what do you do when you're not DJing here or flying to Europe for Delta?
Well, so we like to ski. We like to, and by we, I mean my wife and I. We love to ski. We love to hike. We have a dog that loves to walk all the time, and so.
Why don't you bring your dog here? You should.
Yeah, some people do that.
We are a very dog-friendly place.
Well, that's
right?
True. You know, and we just do a lot of stuff with friends and family. We travel a lot, frequently be on a trip someplace. And
do you have a favorite place?
Yeah,
like a place you'll
no
go
place,
back?
There's no place like home.
Yeah, so. True. Park City's pretty heavenly, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. And, we take for granted, I think, a lot of where we live, and this is really a fantastic place compared to just about anywhere in the world that I've ever been. You know, and of course there are some great other places too, but boy, this is a great place.
It's so. The people.
It's the people. It's the environment. It's the it's a whole package. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to acknowledge some of the people that that basically were influences or a positive. Influences for me coming to the radio station. Emily Elliott, whose son Mitch is now the assistant program director, and she was a fantastic DJ and also full-time employee here. John Wells, who was here for many years and hosted several programs, but started as a volunteer DJ. Mr. Bill, who was probably here as long as anybody and probably holds the record for being the longest DJ here.
Mr. Bill,
yeah, he used to open up his shows by saying, "Well, I'm Mr. Bill, and you're not," you know. then he'd say, you know, the forecast for the day is this, and then the forecast for tonight is dark, you know. And he'd said that all the time. And then there's Craig Cooper, who was really the person that I thought was a fantastic DJ that I modeled myself after and tried to anyway. And he had big, big shoes to fill, and I thought that he was just a fantastic DJ too. So, and of course, Randy Barton, and first moved here, you know, Blair Fulner and Don Gomes, and Larry Warren was really my mentor when I first got here, the general manager at the time, and still a friend of the radio station.
Time is the most precious thing that we have, right, in life. And if you are willing to give that of yourself to something as important as this, it says a lot about your character. And we just really appreciate you being here and treasure you very much.
Well, thank you. This is a fantastic radio station and a fantastic community to be a part of. And thank you for allowing me to share my time with you.
Yeah, and let's go find some chinchillas or random tires on the highway.
All right, I'm looking.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrea here with Campfire Kids Arthur and Jack, 2 5-year-olds who decided that having just one superpower was not going to be enough.
My magic power would be that I could have a lightsaber and I could fly.
My superpower would be that I could read people's minds and make stuff sent to them, but in their minds. But then also I can fly and then have super strength and smash those open.
Yeah, and I want laser eyes also. Woo!
All of the above. Sounds great.
Laser eyes.
Laser eyes would be great, but that reading the minds
the mind
thing.
Control part was that, good.
We don't want to go there, right?
All right. Well, we have Coach Skinner in the studio for the Skinny on Sports. Bill, lay it out for us.
All right. We're going to keep it short and sweet today. Of course, you know the big event in town this weekend, the Park City Extreme Soccer Tournament. That is underway. We got teams coming from 8 states. Participating in this. They're using 41 fields across 13 venues all over the Wasatch Back, Park City, Heber, and Oakley, all doing that. Yesterday wrapped up the 119th Utah Women's State Amateur Golf Championship. Arden Lockheim was this year's champion. She's a 20-year-old Park City native who is a junior at the University of Nebraska and happens to be the daughter of Utah Jazz broadcaster David Locke.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so congrats on that. Maybe this is a stepping stone on her way to the LPGA.
What'd she shoot? Do you know?
It's match play. So,
okay.
So what they were doing was they were playing
who wins
the most holes.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
in
a head-to-head competition. You know, and, you know, continue with the golf theme, you know, British Open, blah, 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 Scottie Scheffler, yada, yada, yada. The real news today is the release of Happy Gilmore 2. That's the real golf news. The sequel to the beloved 1996 Adam Sandler classic that is just quoted endlessly on every round of golf ever played since that movie came out. It's right there with Caddy check. I don't have any expectations that this is actually going to be good, but you know, it is appointment viewing, and I will be watching tonight.
Oh, so. Yeah.
All right. Only one other thing I want to mention is the Hall of Fame game is coming up Thursday, kicking off the NFL preseason. We are here, folks. It is a happy time as we got football coming our way again. That is your Skinny on Sports. I'm Coach Skinner, and now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go to my happy place.
Thanks, Bill. We'll be right back here. And again, you're listening to the Community Campfire. My name is Mitchell Elliott. I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Irvin, and we're going to give you a quick rundown of some stuff happening this weekend. Tonight, there's some music. There's 80s Night Out over at Canyons. Woo! With Flock of Seagulls, Naked Eyes, and Men Without Hats. We had one of the members of Men Without Hats here in the studio yesterday, talking with Claire Wiley on the Local View. We also have Lindsay Sterling over at Deer Valley tonight, and Allison Krause over at Red Butte.
Very good night of music, and happening all weekend long is the Kept Kind campaign, and kindness activities abound. This is something KPCW has highlighted. You can find news stories on what is all involved, but there's all kinds of activities for people and dogs. There's canine kindness as well. You can get all the details on how you can get involved in the Kept Kind campaign and celebrate kindness all around this community by visiting keptkind.com.
Yep. And that first event is going to be tonight over at the Whedon Ranch from 5 to 7 p.m. It is a nice kindness and belonging campaign in partnership with Leadership Class 31. So
yes.
Excited for all that. All right. Well, also something exciting. Wyatt Pike is releasing some new music this weekend. And so we had a conversation with him and got to know a little bit more about the tracks and some personal stuff as well. Here's a listen.
Welcome to the Community Campfire. Our musical guest today, Wyatt Pike, is back in the studio. Welcome, Wyatt.
Hi there. Good to be back.
Yeah, so glad that you're back here, Wyatt. This is Mitchell Elliott here with KPCW, joined by John Burdick, of course, for those of you who don't know already. We're so happy to have you back here, man. You know, it's been a crazy summer. I'm sure that you've been busy.
Yeah.
You were back in when you released Leatherman, and I'm pretty excited about that song. And then you've got another one coming up that we'll talk about. But for our listeners out there, what have you been doing for the summer?
It's been good. I've been sailing a bunch, as we've talked about in the past. I do like my boats. And then writing a ton. I'm trying to get another project together for next year, ideally an album.
And you've really focused on the writing, huh?
Yeah, over the last 2 years, it had been a while since I released any music, and I sailed to the Bahamas, and I sailed to Antigua. I did a bunch of other random side quests to get my head clear, and I feel like I'm writing my favorite music yet, so that's the goal.
That's really exciting, man. I'm curious about your songwriting process now that you have more stuff that you're releasing that you're really happy about. Do you think that in your prior songwriting days, you were getting kind of formulaic and things were getting stale? What did this break do for you that kind of shifted your mentality to making different sounding music?
I think I'm a little formulaic always in terms of I end up in tunings and things feel the same, even though they're different sounding. And so sometimes I feel formulaic and I'm trying to ditch that. But a while ago, I was writing a lot for like instant gratification of like, can I post this and will people like it? And I had a couple of those happen and it feels great. But then you write a bunch and people don't like it for a little while, at least don't like it to the extent of let's get 100,000 views. That was not a good relationship with writing. It should just be this thing that you do and you dump your soul into for you. And then if people like it, great. And so I think disconnecting it from social media and from instant gratification has been helpful.
I think that people out there can experience the same thing when they put like a photo up on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. They get a ton of likes. You get that feeling, right?
Totally.
So how did you disconnect from that feeling and how did you change your motivation to something more internal?
I went to the whole other extreme and didn't post on Instagram for a year. And then I also wasn't writing a ton for a little bit. I took a break and I was in Rhode Island with my parents and checking out that. They moved out there 2 years ago. And so I just kind of let everything reset to some extent. I was still writing and like putting little notes in, but not as consistently as I have been. And I think that break, while maybe stunted my growth as an artist a little bit, I think it was needed to get back on track and some momentum.
Now, when you say you write, is it something where you had to just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to get my coffee and just kind of peruse what I'm feeling and try to put that into lyric? Or do you write the song first or does a tune come to you? How does that work?
In a perfect world, I'd love to be on a 9 a.m. to 11 every day. I sit down with coffee and write and just sit there. What am I feeling? If nothing happens, great. If something happens, great.
Sure.
Has that ever been part of your life?
No, it's never that consistent. Maybe for 2 days at a time, right? But for me, I'm on the go a lot. So I think it's more just trying to give 10, 15 minutes of attention to an idea versus 30 seconds while I'm on the go. My notes app is filled with sentences that make absolutely no sense, or they make a ton of sense when I revisit them. And so I'm a little bit more sporadic than I'd like to be, but it does work for me. And then as far as the lyrics or music first, it really depends. Sometimes I'll start with one of those random sentences or ramblings in a note. And sometimes I'm just playing and I go, oh, that sounds good. And this is what happened today. And this is how I'm feeling. And it starts as very conversational with myself.
We're going to get into a song right now. Oh, next song, did the lyric come first or did the music come first?
Yeah, so this will be called Getting On Starts Tomorrow. And I believe this one was music first. I came up with a really funky way to position the tuning on the guitar with a capo on 5 strings and then a weird tune. It's a disaster.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that because you brought that up in our interview at the beginning of the summer, and I want to get into that whole process.
Tuning gymnastics.
Yes. All right. Here is Getting On Starts Tomorrow, heard here today on the Community Campfire.
Coming on, and that feeling's never wrong. Changing the world, the atom split. My life goes on, but I wanna make a mess of it. I feel less of bad news if the rest of me is bad too. But I'll get through it on my own. The rough's the road I know. Read a book. Go outside, it's time for growth. Sorrow's no reason to hide. But if I can get to getting on at any time, I sure as hell ain't doing it tonight. Instead, I thank God for friends that like the drink at a cheap bar that's right down the road. Habits I should have washed down the sink weeks ago, and sad songs on the radio. 'Cause getting on starts tomorrow. I'm choosing fight over fight. I'm thinking just for tonight. The swing will steer, shed a tear, wipe my nose. The sun will shine again tomorrow. Sometimes you gotta feel so bad that you can't do anything but try to fix that. So thank God for friends that like a drink at a cheap bar that's right down the road, and habits I should have washed down the sink weeks ago, and sad songs on the radio. 'Cause getting on starts tomorrow. It'll be the perfect time. I'll get my ducks in line. But till then, I will wreck. Here it comes, a liquid sunset. Thank God for friends that like a drink at a cheap bar that's right down the road. And habits I should wash down the sink weeks ago, and sad songs on the radio. 'Cause getting on starts tomorrow. Getting on starts tomorrow.
Thank you again. Always amazing to have you and that sound to hear in the studio.
Yeah, fun to have Mitch recording it with some good mics and all that too.
Get it all tracked for you. Well, you'll be coming after KPCW for these tracks.
Yes, I will.
Well, we're happy to share these recordings with our listeners and just happy to have you in studio here. There's an energy that you bring that is welcome.
In case you're just tuning in, we are sitting in studio with Wyatt Pike, Mitchell Elliott, and myself, taking a little time to find out the man behind the music. You had talked about your tuning, and we had a story earlier in the summer about how you broke a string and Mitch had to scramble around and actually get you a guitar.
Yep.
Have you gotten another guitar yet?
Not yet. They are pricey. I'm trying to eliminate how many crazy tunings I use, but I do.
For somebody that doesn't play guitar, yeah. Can you tell me what that process is like?
So guitar is usually tuned E-A-D-G-B-E, and those are the intervals between the strings. They're set. That's what all of guitar is based on. There are some alternate tunings that are common, and folks like John Mayer or Joni Mitchell or a lot of the indie folk scene right now will use some D-A-D, F-sharp A-D. And then there's the realm of people like me and some others. Joni Mitchell got pretty crazy with tunings. She had one called Coyote Tuning. Couldn't tell you what it is. where we're just changing the intervals between strings so much that normal chord shapes don't make sense. And it's kind of puzzling the guitar back together and trying to figure out how to play in that. I like it because it gets me out of my comfort zone very physically on the guitar. And it sounds really cool, to put it simply.
It's so interesting to hear the way that you approach songwriting when it comes to these alternate tunings. There's a lot of artists out there who stick to the basics when it comes to chord structures and stuff, and so you'll hear a lot of songs that sound the same, and no one sounds quite like you, so it's really cool to hear what you're doing there.
Thank you. I do think it's a lot of similar chord structures and harmonic patterns. We're getting into crazy words here, but I think I just don't know what I'm playing, and so it feels new and exciting. And so then when I go back and analyze the song later, I'm like, okay, this is the same as the last one, but we're going to let it slide because it sounds different.
So you have an upcoming EP that you're releasing pretty soon. You want to tell me about that? Next Friday.
Absolutely. So it's 5 songs. 2 of them are already out, and I've played them here. The whole EP is called Face the Weather, and it's a bit about just trying to embrace the way that life comes at you, the way that the weather comes at you. And I think that's what I've been doing for the better part of a few years, is going and trying the things that interest me and accepting what they are or aren't. And yeah, this is a collection of songs about that.
You had mentioned Joni Mitchell and her crazy tuning there. I want to ask a fun question here.
Sure.
If you were to put together a band to play with all artists, either living or dead, who would your magic band be?
Yeah, okay.
And then what Wyatt Pike song would they have to play?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'd have Steve Jordan on drums. I'd probably have my friend Peter Hanneman on bass, just because I haven't played in a band with him playing bass yet. We got to get to that. My best buddy Nick Dillman would be playing guitar. I'd also probably get John Mayer to play guitar. And I don't know, let's duet with Stevie Nicks. And I want to sing a Fleetwood Mac song, not one of mine.
One of yours, you want to cover something?
I want to sing one of ours.
I mean, yeah. Stevie knew what she was doing, right?
I think so, yeah.
That would be a fun roster. I'd love to.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Well, if that happens, you have to come back and do it live here in the studio.
Now, you have Stevie's number?
Exactly. I'll call her up.
Perfect.
She's on speed dial.
We were talking about this new EP, Face the Weather. Is there anything that you want to highlight that was sort of unique about putting this record together that you want to highlight and kind of give people a little window into what it's like when you're actually recording something like this?
So this is my first collection of songs back in a long time. And so I wanted to approach it with acoustic guitars. I didn't want to have this big produced sound where it's sometimes can be a barrier to the lyrics and the songwriting. And so I recorded it essentially in one take for each song, maybe 3 or 4 takes for each song, but the majority of it's all one take and recorded live. So we have a baritone acoustic guitar, a normal acoustic guitar, and a high-strung acoustic guitar, and 2 of my buddies playing, and we just did it all live in studio. So it was a very natural way to approach songs. And then also with that, you don't get them perfect. They're not perfect, and I wish they were, but they're not. And that is art, and that's music, and so I'm having a fun time accepting that and putting them out into the world with that intention, so.
Where do our listeners find you? How do we get the EP?
There's a whole bunch of links to click on wyattpike.com. And then social media, Instagram is the best place to find me. And that's Wyatt Pike. That's my handle there.
You're going to play us out today with one of these songs. What's the song and maybe the story behind it?
So this song is called Face the Weather. It's the title track to this EP coming out next Friday everywhere you listen to music. Yeah, it's about just embracing the way that life comes at you and accepting that. Embrace and accept, those are the same word, but different.
Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for closing it out with some more great music. Here's Face the Weather live here from the KPCW studios.
It finally snowed, I needed it too. Peace and quiet when it's fallen. Summer stretched through autumn and I wondered if things would ever change. Burning up, I turn into a head case. That dry June heat made a desert out of me. No water to be found. Can't root plants in dry ground. Still as an open plain. Trying to find myself again. So give me short days and longer nights. I do my best thinking in the sunset light. And the cold brings on a tendency to ask what life's about. With the seasons, can't stop the change, no time for reeling. Suppose that life's the same. I can't chase what's come and gone. I'll face the weather coming on. I'll change with the seasons, yeah, I better. I'll dress for every day, I'll face the weather. When that cool comes in, I won't expel my breath. Put a jacket on, I'll embrace the darkness. I'll learn to like the change of seasons, let it challenge my beliefs. Yeah, it's sure to be green the day the grass grows in. Thinking in the sunset light. The cold brings on a tendency to ask what life's about. It's like the seasons can't stop the change, no time for healing. Suppose that life's the same. I can't chase what's come and gone. I'll change with the seasons, yeah, I better. Just for every day I'll face the weather. I just wanna do what I say I'm gonna do, so I'll do it. I just wanna prove that the best is yet to come. I'm not through it. Best thinking in a sunset light. And the cold brings on a tendency to ask what life's about. I'll change with the seasons, yeah, I better. I'll dress for every day, I'll face the weather.
Well, that is it for today's edition of the Community Campfire. It was a good one today, Sarah.
Yeah, there were some great stories. I love the behind the scenes with Rudy. It's always great to hear more about our favorite DJs.
I love hearing Rudy and just like talking with him, you know, aside from DJing. He's like, oh yeah, I was just in Amsterdam yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to Paris tomorrow. And I'm just like, your life,
exactly,
man.
And then, yeah, the bull riding one. Wow, that is an incredible family too.
Yeah, so, seriously.
You know. It was awesome to hear Wyatt in studio. He sounded fantastic.
Yeah, he always does. Well, you can always follow us here at KPCW Radio and on Instagram at the Community Campfire if you want to stay tuned and hear more from the show.